Amen. Good morning. Is this church blessed with a worship team or what? Pretty powerful thing, huh? Hey, before I speak to you as the guest preacher this morning, I would actually like to speak to you as the president of the Chamber of Commerce here in Poto. It may seem odd. Woohoo! Who said woohoo? That's pretty cool. Hey, it may seem odd, but I just kind of want to share something with you. Brian kind of said a little bit about it last week, and you've seen some of the slides talking about what you all did during the 4th of July. We really appreciated that, if we can get it to come up. I want to tell you, on behalf of the Chamber, we really appreciated what you all did. It was so cool looking out there and seeing all these red shirts, people who were serving the community, snow cones, over 700 bottles of water given away, balloons given away. There was one problem. One guy was around there for 3 hours going, "Free cookies! Free cookies!" I suggest you trade him to the Methodist Church for two quiet families. I think you can get that deal done. But other than that, it was fantastic. And I want to tell you something, that about 3 years ago when you all started doing that and I was on the Chamber board, we were looking for someone to be on the board. We had a spot we needed to fill. I didn't even know Brian, knew his name, but I had never met him yet. But I knew that this church cared about the community, and I said, let's put their pastor on the board. I had served when I was a pastor on the Chamber of Commerce. I knew how powerful it was to have the church involved in the community. And so he did that. It was a very cool thing for me. He and I got to know each other. We've become at least dear friends in my eyes. I don't know if he considers it the same, but he's a dear friend of mine. That's actually what brought our family to this church a little over a year ago. So I want you to know that it makes a difference in your community. And they know it and they feel it. And if we could get other churches doing that same thing, it is a powerful picture. And so I do thank you. I think it's a wonderful thing that you want to be out there in the community. I think it's worthless for churches to stay to themselves and not share what God has given them with the community around them. And I hope that you believe that too. And I already knew that you're good people, but this morning I experienced it even a little more. I was kind of found a room in the back just to kind of go over my notes, you know, before coming out here to preach this morning. One of your ladies came in. She's so sweet. She said, "Hi, James, you're speaking this morning." I said, "Yes, I am." She says, "Are you finding everything you need okay? You know, you finding everything in the building?" I said, "Yeah, it's pretty easy to find. I'm just kind of, you know, taking some time away." She says, "Well, let me ask you something. Are you nervous?" I said, "No, ma'am. I used to be a preacher, and preachers don't get nervous." She said, "Then what are you doing in the ladies' restroom?" So I know you got some nice people willing to help out here. Let's pray before we get to our lesson. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all the blessings you've given us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, as we get into your word that is planted like a seed in our heart, that it brings forth a great harvest, Father, one that we can use not only to glorify you, but impact the lives of others. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Grab your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians 13. I hope you don't mind, I'm speaking down here on the floor. I've always heard that if you're up on the stage, you're preaching. If you're down on the floor, you're meddling. Well, I'm not meddling, I'm just talking to you this morning. And if I get these kids to leave my Bible alone, we'll be good all through the morning. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13 because Brian started a series that he wanted us to continue for a couple weeks on love, and in particular, love in the body of Christ, and how the church needs to make sure that love is an important part of who we are and what we do. And let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 together. You may have a different version than I do, but it all reads in a powerful way. He says this, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, and it thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." And then the first part of chapter 8, or verse 8, says, "Love never fails." And that is a powerful concept, and I believe it's powerful for a couple reasons. And actually, I want to go back to an illustration that Brian used with you last week. If you remember, he brought a bicycle out on the stage. He talked about how he's getting into bicycling and, you know, wanting to race and that type of thing. And he was trying to figure out, you know, what can you do with the bicycle that makes it go faster and helps him to kind of win the race or could be more competitive. And he talked about a very powerful concept where the person at the bike store told him that no matter how good that bike is, you are the engine. You are the force that drives it. You are the force that makes it go. That is a powerful picture, and I agree with Brian in that. What I don't agree with Brian in is that's not a bike. That's a bike. Amen? Yeah. You see, I used to run 3 to 5 miles a night, and I used to really, you know, work out a lot, you know, and running, and I got into my 30s, and I realized that was getting tough on my body, so I thought I would take up bicycling. Have you seen how small the seats are on those things? My lands, those things will injure you. And so I like that kind of a bike. Not only does the seat fit my bottom better, I can romp on the throttle. I could even put a cup holder and have a Diet Coke as I'm going down the road. Now that's healthy, right? I got 1,602 cc's of power going down the road with it. Now, that's my interpretation of what a bike is. It may differ from Brian's, but the message is all the same. If you take the motor out of that bike, all it is a boat anchor. Same thing for that piece of machinery he had up here. If you don't have a motor behind it, if you don't have power in it, then you have really something that is quite useless. And I believe that's the message that we need to understand in the church today. The body of Christ, that without love, we have no power. Amen? Now, I got to get you on track with me on this amen stuff. If I say amen, I'm looking to hear from you back. Now, I'm doing it for a couple reasons. Number one is to see if you're awake. In the 9 o'clock service, they caught on to that. I think they have to prove they're awake more than you do. But the second reason, I want to see if you agree. You don't have to agree with me. The third reason is I want to see if you're engaged in this and not just the audience. So you've got those choices. Now, I did have a little lady in one of my churches, and she came up to me and she said, James, I'm old-fashioned, and I just don't feel like as a woman I should be saying amen. I said, well, that's fine. Just, you know, however you want to signal. She said, well, I'm going to go like this. Instead of saying amen, I'm going to do like that. And I always knew I was doing good when she went, yeah. It was really good when she went, yeah. So whatever your signal is, that's fine. I'd like you to be a part of this. Engage in this. Because we have to really grab the concept that love is so essential. It is so powerful that without it, we are absolutely nothing. And listen, this comes in a perfect place in this letter that he's been writing to the Corinthians, because he's been talking in context of a very powerful picture of the body of Christ making an impact on the world around it. He's not just, you know, he didn't just insert this Hallmark card in the middle of 1 Corinthians that we use for weddings and nice little things to say about love. It fits in the message. All the way back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when he's telling us in verse 10, he says, I plead with you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. One of the things that is cool about that passage is that that language, when the Bible was written, it actually described the mending of a fishing net. And that's a great picture as the body of Christ comes together to be fishers of men. We know that we can't have any holes in our nets, right? Or we can't bring in the harvest. And so the picture is of us mending our nets. Any division, any schism, anything that divides us, we bend that up. And the only thing you can use to mend it up with is love. The second chapter, he starts talking about the need for us to be spiritually minded. The third chapter, he talks about how we don't need to be carnally minded and how we need to be mature and growing in Christ. The fourth chapter, He wants us to be the same kind of people, but we don't need to be lifting people up over anybody else. In chapter 5, he wants us to hold each other accountable. And if that doesn't take love, I don't know what takes love. In chapter 6, we remember who we were, that we came from the same sinful background as people who are without Jesus. In chapter 7, he wants us to stay in that calling in which we were called. And he wants us to be people who reach out to each other. In chapter 8, he doesn't want us to cause our brother to stumble. In chapter 9, he wants us to support the people in ministry. In chapter 10, he doesn't want us involved in idolatry. In chapter 11, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible because it deals with something very precious to me, and that is communion. He talks about the need that when we come together for communion, that koinonia, that we are a community. And we have fellowship, and it's supposed to be a sweet fellowship. One where I consider you and you consider me, and we are all equal, and we're not eating to fill ourselves, but we're eating to celebrate what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And he wants us, as we take that communion, to consider the body of Christ, to discern the body of Christ, to make sure that the body of Christ is united as we take that. And tell me that you can be united without love. Chapter 12, he says that for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. And then he goes through this power of picture of showing the body of Christ literally as a body. Where we have arms, we have hands, we have feet, we have a head, and all the parts are important. It doesn't matter whether you're an arm, a leg, a nose, or a nose hair. You're important in the body of Christ. Amen? And so he says, these are all important, but now I want to share something that is vital to all of this. You got to love each other. Love is so important in this picture that it doesn't matter what your talent is. It doesn't matter what your gift is, what your calling is. If you don't have love, it's worthless. You've wasted your time. You've become like that clanging cymbal. You can't do anything productive. And the body of Christ has to see that love is so essential. It is so important that it has to be number one before our programs, before our missions, before any of our vision, before any of our direction, before anything that we plan. It has to be encompassed and filled and consumed and bathed in love. Otherwise, we have wasted every bit of our time and every ounce of our energy. Because love is the power. I was a paper boy growing up in Colorado. And when we actually had to deliver them. You know, they weren't coming in the mail. They'd actually find some young kid that wanted a couple dollars and they'd put a bag on them and load them down with like 9,000 pounds of newspapers and have them go put them on the porches. Anybody ever a paper boy? Some of y'all maybe, I don't know. That's what I was when I was a kid. And half of the year in Colorado, there was snow on the ground. Well, you always tried to get the paper on the porch. And one of the things about being a paper boy is you always had a house that had the dog. This dog was full of hatred for paper boys. It was fur, teeth, and that's all I think it ever wanted to eat. And I had a house that had the dog. One morning I got up real early. It was cold. There's snow on the ground. And you know, I tried to put that paper on the porch every morning so I'd get that tip at Christmas. And, you know, I was out delivering papers. And I came to the house that had this big dog that, you know, was always there and always gave me trouble. Well, I took the paper and I threw it up there to the porch. And it kind of hit the door, bounced off, and kind of slid down the lawn on top of that crusty snow, you know. So I got off my bike and I walked through the snow and got that paper and put it back on the porch. And just as I did, I looked over and I saw that the gate was open. And I could hear something rustling in the backyard. So I started running. Man, I was running back to my bike. And, of course, being as athletic as I am, I tripped over my own feet, land flat on my face. And that dog is coming so fast at me, but he hit the end of his chain. And his butt flew right past his head just as fast as it could, you know. He had so much power, but he was limited. He couldn't stand us. You want the paper? Bad, bad doggy. You know, he was limited in his power. He could only go so far, no matter what that dog believed he could do, no matter how tough he was, no matter how strong he was, no matter how vicious he was limited in what he could do. And I believe the church is too, without love. And you know, we all, I see a lot of heads nodding in here, but you don't realize, you know, how important this message is in the body of Christ today. Because there are so many churches out there that are having such a problem with this. People are being hurt left and right. They are dividing over silly things like what color the carpet is or what color the walls are, or what kind of building we build. They divide over some of the silliest things, over traditions and preferences and things that really don't amount to a hill of beans when you're talking about whether somebody goes to heaven or hell. Because they don't realize how important and essential love is in the equation. That without that love there, they're not going to be able to move forward. And that's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about, I'm going to get that picture down. It's a little intimidating for me. Brings back bad memories. I might run down the aisle or something. You know, he's talking about the need for us to see that love is more than just words. It's more than just saying, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. Love you. Love you. It's action. Tell me this. Would you rather have somebody tell you they love you or show you they love you? You bet. Because love is an action. And actually, this kind of love is agape love. Anybody ever heard of agape love? Yeah, it's the only love that you don't feel. It's a love you choose. And that's kind of tough because we're kind of used to the love we feel. You know, it gives us the ooey-gooeys or the warm fuzzies or, you know, makes us feel all good. I love you, you know. But this love, you don't even have to like the person. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to be comfortable with the situation. It's the love where you say, you know what, I am going to choose to love you. And what that means is I'm going to lift you up above me and I'm going to become for you what you need me to be. That's the kind of love that I'm going to show you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to sacrifice for you. I'm not going to make my preferences or my needs or my wants more important than you. I'm going to make you more important than me. I love you. And you don't even have to say the words when you're showing agape love. That's a powerful kind of love. That's the kind of love that changes lives. That's the kind of love that reaches out to people in ways that they've never been touched before. That's the kind of love that reaches people who've never even experienced any kind of love before. That's the kind of love that changes even what a church can do in a community. Because they say, you know what, it's not just about liking people, it's about loving them. It's about reaching out to them and serving them and becoming Jesus to them. Man, if you look at the kind of love Jesus showed to people, that's the kind of love He showed, wasn't it? He would touch the untouchable. He would reach out to the people who had never been reached out to before. He would spend His time with people that most people didn't want to spend time with. He showed that kind of love with them. And that's the kind of love we have to show. Not just out there, because this morning really what we're talking about is loving in here. And I know that sometimes it's not easy. That's why I say it's a choice. But it's a powerful choice. Because it's the kind of love that says, listen, we are the body of Christ. And if we're to work as the body, just as my right arm works with my left arm, then I need to saddle up next to you. And I need to say, you know what, come hell or high water, I'm standing with you. It doesn't matter what we face, it doesn't matter what we deal with, it doesn't matter what decision we have to make, I'm going to stand with you. And we're going to make sure that we as the body of Christ are moving forward and that we're powered by the only thing that God has given us to power it, and that is love. Money can't power it. A building can't power it. I don't care how many people you have in your seats. That is not what powers a church. It is love. Because I've actually seen churches that don't have very many people do phenomenal things because of the love that they show for others. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He's saying that love is so vital, so essential, that if you don't have it, you're not going to be able to move forward as the body of Christ. And I believe we as the body of Christ are supposed to move forward, don't you? Amen? And you know, when Jesus said He was going to establish the church, He said that the gates of hell would not prevail against it, right? So that tells me that the church is not in defensive mode. You know, it's not supposed to sit back and just kind of, you know, defeat anything that kind of attacks it. We're actually in the offensive mode. He said that the gates of hell, gates? Well, gates are meant to keep somebody out. So that means we're trying to do damage to hell. We're trying to do damage to the purpose and mission of hell. And if we're showing love to people, I promise you that is the most powerful thing that defeats Satan in any activity, any people that he's trying to destroy out in there, anybody he's trying to destroy in here, if we have love. Let me share a story with you. There was a pastor who'd been in the ministry for quite a few years and had kind of felt God was moving him in a different direction, and so he kind of resigned from the denomination he was part of and just kind of was seeking God to find out where he was to go next. And one night about 20 people came knocking on his door and asked him, said, you know, we would like you to start a church here in this town. And so they started talking and forming a mission and a vision of that church. And the church is actually a lot like Emmanuel. It was more contemporary in the worship, you know, a lot more free in how they approached it. They were reaching out to people who had not been reached ever in their lives. People who were unchurched, people who had been what I call hurt by church. You know, those people who maybe had been shunned or had been through one situation or another situation in their life, and so they weren't welcome. And maybe they were welcome, but they just didn't feel welcome. People who needed some freedom. Some people who had been in church all their lives, but they just came to a point where they were tired of man-made religion, and so they were seeking something else. You know, people who were just kind of rough around the edges. And this church was really a powerful picture of ministry because it didn't matter where, you know, who you were or where you came from. Didn't matter how much money you had or didn't have, what kind of house you had, or whether you had a house or not, whether you had a nice car or didn't drive a car or not. You were welcome there, and everybody was equal. And it was a powerful picture, and it made a huge impact on the region around it. Overnight, it went from 20 to 350, just like that. And I mean, it was gaining steam until all of a sudden, they went through a project, a building project. And it was a great building. It had a state-of-the-art worship center. And I mean, you know, it was just a fantastic picture of how to have a church building and incorporate it into the community. All the school was using the facilities for the choir concerts. There were groups that would meet there on a regular basis. And it was just really a neat picture of ministry in that community. And a lot of people not only called that their church, even if they didn't go there, but there were people in town that literally gave thousands and thousands of dollars to that ministry that didn't even go to that church. Well, after a long building project and a lot of things going on, the pastor decided to take a 30-day sabbatical with the blessing of the elders. And earlier that year, there was one of the elders that was as close to him as anybody had ever been in his life. And that elder had gone to another town to try to start a church just like that one. And it failed. They went about it the wrong way, and he didn't do it. And so he came back, and he was still craving to have a church of his own, as though any church can belong to a person, right? And so the first day that pastor was gone, it was a Wednesday, and everybody came to church, and he announced that the pastor had left and wasn't coming back, installed three new elders who were too young and immature to be in that leadership position, controlled the bank accounts, and within 2 weeks, Church of 350 was down to 25 members. 1 year exactly, they had started calling themselves Tower Ministries because of a 300-foot tower across the street that was right across the street from the church building. The tower fell over on that church. 1 year after that, that elder, 58 years old, dropped dead. Now the pastor, he didn't want a bloody war, so he resigned and moved to Southeast Oklahoma and became a cheesy insurance guy. But listen, am I saying that that's going to happen to every church that doesn't show love? Yes, I am. Physically, I don't know. That's God, up to God. But spiritually and emotionally, it blows my mind. Because let me tell you, I could tell you stories about that church and how in the years that we were serving God, we faced things that threatened our unity that would curl your hair. But Satan didn't stand a chance against us because we loved each other. And I believe that love, you know, that the Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Love makes us too big to eat, you know? Yeah, I've been kind of going through a dilemma for the last couple of years. I've had a couple encounters with bears in my life. Anybody ever have an encounter with a bear? You know, I like to read and listen to the stories about people, you know, who deal with bears and stuff. And there's kind of two theories out there. Used to be the theory for a long time that if a bear attacks you, play dead. I'm just a little uncomfortable with that, you know, because his goal is to make me dead. So I don't want him to believe he reached his goal sooner than he has to and start eating me early, you know. So there's a new theory going on that says make yourself look as big as possible. Throw up your arms and your coat and jump up and down and whatever you have to do to make yourself look big. I'm leaning that direction, you know. But I guarantee you when Satan comes after us, if we're loving each other, we are way too big for him to eat. And if we will stay together, because we stayed together with love until that one time when one person left love out of the way they did things. And then they spread it to a few others by building them up with their pride and filling their ego. And one thing led to another and another. And pretty soon, it was destroyed. In this case, even physically. But I guarantee you the destruction goes beyond what can ever happen to a building. I get Facebook messages and text messages and emails and calls all the time from people who say, oh, we so miss what that church was doing in this community. We so miss that ministry. We so miss what we had. It's almost like a dark cloud is over that community. And I'm telling you this for a reason. Because don't think for a second it can't happen here. Now please, don't let it happen here. And I believe you've got everything, and I mean everything you need to keep that from happening here. In fact, you've got everything that you need, people, the resources, and the power of love to continue doing what you're doing. But I think every once in a while we have to stop and take an examination of ourselves and say, you know, we're doing so much as a church and we're growing and great things are happening. And let me tell you, great things are happening here. I am so excited about what Emmanuel is doing. But don't forget what powers everything here. It's love. It's not programs. It's love. It's not buildings. It's love. It's not ministries. It's love. Because all of that is absolutely worthless without love. And so as this church continues to reach out to the community, we've got to see how important love is. Love is that thing that causes, especially when you're in a position like you are. You're making decisions and you know, you got leadership that's trying to make decisions and they want to make sure you're happy. And sometimes we want things to be done the way we would like them done. And you know, there gets to be a little bit of a stalemate going on sometimes because nobody wants to offend each other. And yet we see the world out there so hungry and starving for Jesus. Some of them are starving and they don't even know they're hungry. And yet we've got to get out there, and so we're kind of careful in here. And you know, if we would just love each other. And I'll go one step beyond that. Not just love each other, but be able to express that to each other. I mean, absolutely go out of your way to make sure that you look for opportunities to show love to each other. Then man, the sky's the limit on what God will do through this church. God is just looking for that portal. He's looking for that vehicle. He's looking for that group of people that says, we are going to love God. We want people to taste the love that you've given us through the love that we can give others. And he says, great, it starts right in here. Starts by not only extending that right hand of fellowship, but touching people who are hard to touch. By making sure that you're not talking about the people that are pretty easy to talk about. By making sure that if it's somebody that you're uncomfortable with, maybe you saddle up closer to them than anybody else. Just to kind of break your own comfort zones. That if something happens at church that's maybe different than what you're used to, that you take a big deep breath and you say, you know what? It's not about me. It's about, is everybody else getting filled? Or is there someone here today that needs it to happen like that? It's about when you put your money in the plate. You know that you gave it to God and you don't have any intentions to make sure that it's spent a certain way. That you trust the leadership to spend that in a way that's going to glorify God. Because when you gave it to God, you gave it to God completely. It's lifting up the ministry staff and the leadership here. And not just praying for them, that is so important, but going to them and saying, we want you to know that you've got a lot on your plate. And we don't want to be anything that makes that burden any heavier to carry. That we support you, even when we disagree, we may share our opinion with you, but it does not have to be my way. And I'm with you no matter what, because we're all in this together. Man, the list can go on and on. In fact, I've got a couple things that I would share with you that love will cause us to do. Number one, love will cause you to give your brother or sister the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they say something, or maybe they do something, or maybe they don't say something, or don't do something. I remember I had a guy that was mad at me for 6 months because I didn't shake his hand in the foyer. You know? Well, I shook a lot of hands that day. I'm sorry I missed his. You know what? It didn't hurt for him to come up and shake my hand. Don't be the one who waits on somebody else to do something. You be active in your love, and you go pursue them. But give them the benefit of the doubt. Another one would be, remember that people matter, paint, carpet, and buildings, etc., don't. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? Because it doesn't matter what color the carpet is. It doesn't matter what color the walls are. It doesn't matter whether you have a square building or a round building. It doesn't matter whether you have a building or not. What matters is what are you doing with what God gave you to reach the people with Jesus Christ. And so it doesn't matter what kind of building it is. Another one I'd say is touch the sinner, forgive first, even if they don't ask, and give good gifts, just like Jesus did. And giving good gifts is one of my favorite concepts because one of the things I've had to examine in myself is that the gifts I have and the strengths I have, they can be my greatest blessing, but they can also be my greatest curse. I can use them to bless people, but I can also use them to hurt people. I can use them to really do good things for people, and I can also use them in a very offensive way. And I have to really take control of that. And when I deal with other people, I have to make a conscious decision that I'm going to give good gifts of who I am. And in that, God gives the gifts through us. Another thing that love will cause us to do is to protect the one who's easy to attack, not to criticize, and to be known as a positive supporter even when we don't agree with something. Another one is, remember, you can't find anyone that Jesus didn't die for. And you can't find anyone that Jesus doesn't love. And you can't find anyone that won't benefit from your love, including you. You can go on and on, right? I mean, we can come up with a whole list of things. I don't think this is one of those things that takes some theological, brilliant person to explain to us, right? And if it does, we're probably looking for a way out of it rather than a way into it. So I would just leave you with this. We as the body of Christ have an opportunity, and there is a need. And if you don't believe we have an opportunity and that there is a need, then I'm kind of curious what you're doing here. Because let me tell you, when you arrive here on Sunday morning, it's not about you. It's about you lifting up God, praising Him for the wonderful God He is to you. It's about you edifying your brother and sister in Christ and having a chance to have a little bit of a family reunion after a long week and get your week started right so you go right back out there into the world and show people Jesus Christ. And so as you need the unity and the strength and the support of your brothers and sisters in Christ, know that they need you too. And you know that you need the strength and support and the teaching and the preaching of the ministry staff, know that they need you too. And the leadership as they make decisions, they need you too. It all works together, but let me tell you, none of it works unless there is love. You agree with that? Amen. My prayer is that God will fill this church with love, give you the ability to show that love to others. And then, of course, my prayer is, too, that if He doesn't, well, then you'll look like that. You know, the first time I saw that picture, it was cool, and then I saw that it blinks and it freaked me out. But listen, love is so important in the body of Christ. Would you pray with me?